You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Topic of our series, Behind the Scene. And really what we're talking about here is things that are going on beyond what we see physically in the world. And there's something beyond what we notice. You know, we see economic downfalls, or we see promotions and things like that, or we see media items in the news, but are we really seeing what's going on behind the scenes? And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the main objective of these 4 weeks, Pastor Christian started it for us here last week, and we're going for this week and then two more after this. But the main objective of this is a phrase that I'm going to share with us now, and it's a phrase that we've all heard and we've all talked about. But to be honest, if we're completely honest, it's not a phrase, at least for myself, that I'm very comfortable with, that I really don't know what it means. It's like the kind of thing where I can just float it around and say it, but I don't really know what it means. And it's this. Our objective is, by the end of this series, we will all depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Such a good Christian thing to say. You know, I have a friend who's going through a hard time. What do you say? Well, depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And if he's a good Christian person, I'll pretend I understood that. I'll pretend I know exactly what that means or how that applies to my life. But to be honest, if any of you are like me, the Holy Spirit, when it comes to worshiping our God, we believe we have one God and three persons, and each person is fully God. The Holy Spirit is the most vague one for me. Can any of you relate to that feeling? You know, God the Father, yeah, I get him. Sure, probably doesn't have, you know, a beard. But yeah, he's God the Father. He's the Father. You know, he's this big guy, this old guy. That's him. God the Son, Jesus. I can get behind that. Okay, he's got the beard and the white robe and a blue, sometimes red. But it's always blue or red, the color. But it's generally the same thing. But God the Holy Spirit, how does he work? You know, like, what does it mean to say that to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit? What do you mean when you say, I need the Holy Spirit to do what I do every day? How does that make sense? I get up in the morning, I read my Bible, I have breakfast, I go to work. Where did I need the Holy Spirit in any of that? If I didn't pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill me, would I have fallen over? Would my breakfast not have cooked? Would the water not have run? No, it would have worked anyway. So, how does this Holy Spirit thing work? Can anybody relate to this feeling, or is it just me? All right, it's just me. Okay, thank you. But we always, what does it mean? And so sometimes it looks like we see these people, usually they're the really spiritual type of people who say this, and there's the rest of us who can't get that. So, you know, and it's true for pastors. I've been a minister for more than 10 years now, and to be completely honest with you, there are people who I used to look at and I used to say, well, they get the power of the Holy Spirit. Those guys are always praying. Those guys, you know, they pray for the sick people and all that. I'm not really doing that. I don't know if I do get it. And, you know, when we get invited to preach things, my dad doesn't have a choice. He has to preach every time he's here. But when I get invited, I like to look at the topic and say, can I preach this? And 7 years ago, if you'd asked me to preach on this message, I might have declined. To be completely honest, I would have said, I don't know how that works, okay? Or get somebody else. Somebody else can do it. I know somebody, oh, this guy, he never opens his eyes. He's always praying, you know? This guy, his knees have calluses. He's always kneeling and praying. Oh, this person can't help but lay hands on people. Get him. But not me. I can't do that kind of thing. We've cloaked it so much, partially because of our own ignorance, partially because of actual people's own efforts, to cloak it in this mystery where it seems like it's inaccessible for the uninitiated, you know, unless you've done this special training or read this special book or had this amazing experience. That's not the goal today. And we're actually going to see that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us who believe. To all of us. And now I'm actually glad to be sharing this with you as someone who didn't know how to use it before. Because it's actually easier sometimes to learn from someone who doesn't know what they're doing, isn't it? It's like learning math from someone who's good at math. Have you done that? You ask your friend, hey, can you teach me math? And then, oh, it's so easy. It's like a couple of seconds. Like, I don't know what you just did there. But when you talk to your friend who's, you know, just a little bit smarter than you, just as dumb as you, maybe just a little bit smarter, and they're like, oh, I learned this. So, now I can do that. The power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Christian introduced the word dunamis to us. And this is the word that is used to describe the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a Greek word that speaks of explosive power. It's from this verse. But you will receive power, you will receive dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And Pastor Christian was talking about how this is where we get the English word dynamite. Explosive power. Remember this? And he was saying how because of dynamite, they can do work that used to take months or weeks, and now they can do it in a couple of days or a couple of hours because of the explosive nature of dynamite. Now, the interesting thing with dynamite was when Alfred Nobel invented it, he didn't add the explosive power. It was already very explosive. It's made from nitroglycerin. And nitroglycerin was this liquid that, strangely enough, is a medicine nowadays, but it was a liquid that was very unstable and always ready to explode. So people knew that this stuff explodes, but because it was very unstable, unpredictable, it was impossible to use. I mean, I couldn't even bring it to a demolition site because on the way it would blow up. It would blow up in the car, it would blow up in the train because it was that unstable. And the main contribution that Alfred Nobel had to dynamite was to make it usable. He mixed it with pulp, he mixed it with cardboard, and by mixing it that way, it became predictable when it would explode. And that's the main contribution of dynamite. It's the same thing with the power of the Holy Spirit. We all know this power is available, but we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to access it. It's just somewhere there. Maybe if it's a worship night, maybe if we're speaking in tongues, but how do I use it at work? How do I use it when I'm speaking to my wife or my kids? How do I use it when I'm driving? Can I use it then? Does it apply in these places? Absolutely. It absolutely does. And what we're going to do today is look behind on how that works. Because this was God's plan all along. And that's why we need to be careful and actually critical even of any message that comes across saying, you don't really know what God has in store for you. You need to attend blank. Are you here? I tweeted this on my Instagram. Okay, I Instagrammed this recently. This quote that I read from this Christian author saying, "People who always go around pointing out problems always have a solution to sell." And unfortunately, many church leaders have done that. They've pointed out problems with our faith and saying, you're missing this. You don't have that. You don't really know this. And that's why, buy my book. And that's why, go to my class. And that's why, go to this lesson. That is not the objective of this message. That is not the objective of our church. The objective here is for all of us to see that it's available to you. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe in Him. This power is yours. There's no premium account. There's no Christianity Plus. No, none of that. Put your faith in Jesus. This is yours. Our verse today is in Acts chapter 5, but we'll jump around as well. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "The many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico." So that's a covered area in the city of Jerusalem. It says these signs and wonders were regularly done. Verse 13 says, "None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem." So I guess they were weirded out a bit by these Christians, but they respected them. But they said, "I don't know if I can get behind that." Verse 14 and 15, "And more than ever, believers were added to the number, multitudes of both men and women, so that they carried out the sick onto their streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them." Wow. How nutty is this? Okay, how weird and otherworldly is this? Verse 16, "The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bring the sick there, afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." This is the picture of the church. This is what the church looks like. This is what God intended it to be from the very beginning. Today I want to share with us three truths that when we believe them, release the Holy Spirit's power in our life. And preparing for this message, I had two possible approaches. One is we could get really deep and study the theology behind the Holy Spirit. But we felt like that wouldn't be the right way to go, simply because this is already a deep enough topic as it is for most people. And again, we're very allergic here to people adding this kind of thing, like, "Well, Jack, you know, you really could use the power of the Holy Spirit, but do you know the original Greek?" Oh no, you don't know the original Greek. Oh gosh. Well, let's hope it works for you. No, it's not that complicated. So we're going to keep this really simple. The first truth If we really want to see the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, not just the church, but in every facet of our life, Monday morning, first thing, getting up and going through the, you know, Carmageddon, as people call it, you know, the traffic, how can I apply the power of the Holy Spirit here? Here's how. Number one, we have to believe that no one is insignificant. No one is insignificant. The verse we read earlier said that signs and wonders were regularly being done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Who were the apostles? The apostles were the original 12, well, minus Judas, the original 11 that Jesus had discipled. These would be the leaders of the church. And now when we look at them, partially because of our religious background, you know, St. Peter, it's such an otherworldly person. They're so above us. They're so beyond us. They're so unlike us. We see them in pictures, in Renaissance paintings, in medieval ages paintings, and they have a glowing halo around their head. It's so not regular life like you and me. And that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, in the previous chapter to this, in Acts chapter 4, remember last week Pastor Christian talked about the time when Peter and John healed this beggar who was crippled. And they healed him, and it caused such an uproar, that became such a controversial thing, that the religious leaders arrested them and said, "Who are these troublemakers?" And when they interviewed them, it says in Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. What was the defining characteristic of these men? You know, we all of us have a defining characteristic. You know, oh I know Jack, he's funny. Joseph, he's bold. That's become my new defining characteristic. And when you look at Peter and John, the only thing they could walk away with, they're ordinary people. That's all they had. That's the only thing that they didn't even say, well, he's particularly talented or charismatic. No, this one's really intelligent. They even said uneducated ordinary people. But they were bold. And they had been with Jesus. This is Christianity. This is what it means to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So for as long as any one of us here feel like there's a gap somehow, that I'm not good enough, I can't reach that, then we're missing the point. Let me give you as a very practical example. We love it when people come for prayer afterwards, and we're happy to pray, okay? So don't let what I'm about to say stop any of us from coming for prayer, okay? But when we come forward and say, "Hey, okay, oh, let's pray together," you go first, Pastor, you're closer to God. Now, we're not mad or anything about that, but all that speaks to us is we haven't done enough of a good job to explain and show them that God is available to all of us, that no one is insignificant. In fact, why not pray for the person beside you? Hey, you're going to wait in front, you know, and there's so much people waiting in line, Pastor Emma, can I pray for you? It's the same thing, because no one is insignificant. That's what it means to believe that the Holy Spirit power is released in your life. To know that, Lord, I've put my faith in you. I have this. I don't know what it looks like yet. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But I have this. Do you believe that? Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 12. Telling his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." What is that? Jesus, if there's anybody in the world who we should be putting up on a pedestal and saying, "Well, only you can do that," he's the one saying, "You can do this too. I want you to do this. You're going to learn this." Christianity is not some kind of hierarchical religion where, you know, this elite and then the diminishing power all the way down. No. Christianity was very flat from the very beginning, where Jesus was saying, "I want all of my followers, the sons and daughters of my Father, to know what I know, to have what I have as well." That's all of us. And that's why we're so passionate about discipleship here. Because what that does is release you to say, "Oh my gosh, I can hear God for myself. I can read the Bible and discover His truth for myself. I can pray for other people and they'll recover by myself." As we walk in unity with one another, the power of the Holy Spirit is released in us. There's even one part in the Bible where Jesus tells his followers, "I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to go up to heaven. And it's you should be glad that I'm doing that, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Here, John 16, he says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He just told them, look, I'm going to leave. And they all look sad. But he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if I was the disciples, I would have thought, that makes zero sense. Okay, Jesus, I'm really only in it for you. I don't like Andrew. I don't like John. I don't like James. I don't like any of these other guys. And if you say you're leaving, I'm sure, I think I'd be leaving too. But Jesus says, no. It's actually better for you that I go. Let's think about that for a minute. Let's put ourselves in the disciples' shoes. Would I rather have this Holy Spirit thing Joseph's talking about right now, or would I rather have Jesus physically in the car with me? Right? I mean, let's be honest. I'd rather have Jesus physically in the car. You know, like, if I'm stuck in traffic, I'm about to lose my temper. Be still, my son. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're the best. I'm so glad you're here. You know, I couldn't do this without you. You know what I mean? Like, it would be so much easier if he was here physically with me. Right? Oh, my friend's sick. Okay. Oh, he's sick. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Talk to him. Yeah. Good job. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It would be done. Like, all of my problems would be over if I had Jesus physically beside me. I'm sure that's how we feel, and that's how the disciples felt. So for Jesus to be saying, it's better for you that I go, how can that be? How can it be better than him physically beside you? And physically is the problem, you see. Because when Jesus came the first time, he was limited by his physicality. If he was in my car, he wouldn't be in any of your cars. And if you, like, borrowed him, then he wouldn't be in mine, you know? Hey, he's mine now. I want to book him for Wednesday, the 4 to 6. That's the worst time, you know? Like, I'm just joking. Today, Friday payday is the worst time. But you can't do that. It's the physical. And Jesus knew that. And he said the power, the connection to God, this grace that you feel from me, that you think I have, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're having it on the inside. That's the difference. And I realized, as I was studying this, I realized, you know, he was right. Think about it. He had those disciples for 3 years, the best small group leader, teaching the best small group messages. And what were they like for those 3 years? They were brats. No offense, you know, in heaven. Hazing in heaven. No, they won't be there when you get there. But they weren't really good people, were they? I mean, they were petty, fighting with one another, bickering. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? You know, there was times they lacked faith. That's how bad they were. In the first sign of trouble, they all betray him. Right? That's Jesus physically beside them. And then, Acts 2, just a few weeks later, the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes them, and now they're totally different. They're bold. They're confident. They love one another. I mean, that's one of the most crazy things we read in the book of Acts. The believers met together. You got to remember, these are the guys who can't stay together for an hour without Jesus having to hold them apart. Stop fighting. But now they can get together. What happened? The Holy Spirit. The power Jesus had that they were all hoping to connect to was now in all of them. It's now in all of us who believe in Jesus. No one is insignificant. Do we believe that? It's here. And here's the thing, though. I need to be careful to say this. Some people have called this Christianity's dangerous idea. Because it's true. The moment we start saying, hey, you can hear God for yourself, people have used this to justify all kinds of dumb and even downright wicked things, haven't they? Well, one of us who've led a small group, we've experienced this, or we've done this ourselves. You know, I feel like God's calling me to the NBA. You're 5'2". No, I heard from God. Okay, I mean, how do you tell someone they didn't? Because we just said, you can. The fruit is in the person's life, really. The fruit will be, the way we can tell if it was true or not is in the person's life. But what we cannot do is remove that from people and say, no, you can't hear from God for yourself. I you need to hear it from me. Because God wants to talk to people. And to be honest, as a church, when we read the Bible, we would rather release this freedom to people and tell people that God can speak to them and just disciple them along the way. Right? rather than monopolize and try to control the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not for us to do. That's why discipleship is important too, so we can learn how to pay attention to the Word of God. I have a guy in my small group who's just celebrating his 1 year of being a Christian this month. I'm so excited for him. And the beginning of our one-to-ones and our victory weekend, it was just helping him realize what the Bible, what God is speaking to him. So he would come to the small group meeting and he would say, you know what? I almost lost my temper with my office mate today, but I said this instead. What do you think that was? I think that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I watch him now grow in confidence and grow in his freedom and his ability to hear from God. Because this is available to all of us. Is it a dangerous idea? Yes. But is it an idea worth sharing? Yes. Because no one is insignificant. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. If you will put your faith in Jesus, this power is yours. It's ours. Secondly, no task is too mundane. No task is too mundane, too ordinary, too pedestrian, too commonplace. But everything has a special work to it. This verse that we found so weird earlier, people are coming to Jesus, there's so many of them, to Peter, and they just want to put their mats by the side of the road so that his shadow could fall on the mat and anybody whose shadow he fell on would get healed. This is ridiculous. Now, let's, you know, sometimes we, because of our Christian tradition now, we tend to overblow this. This is not some kind of Peter's crusade, you know, Peter's healing crusade, register early for premium shadow positions. Now, this is not like that. This wasn't some kind of major event that Peter was planning. He's on his way to wherever he's going, and people are getting healed along the way. That's what's happening here. Even the account we read last week about Peter and John on the way to the temple, they're going there to pray. I just want to pray. They run into a lame guy. Hey, get up. And then he starts walking, and now lots of people get saved. This wasn't some intentional, let's look for the guy who's going to be the most controversial, and if we get him, then everybody will know. No, they're just going about their life, and people are getting saved, and people are getting healed. Are we here? Because everyday actions become supernatural when the Holy Spirit is in the equation. And see, this is one of the false distinctions we make. Earlier we said we distinguish between the super elite Christian and the un-elite, and we're breaking down that wall, and we're saying everybody has the power of the Holy Spirit who will put their faith in Jesus. But the other thing that we do is we put this barrier between spiritual things and secular things. So spiritual things are over here. All right, this is worship night. Oh, that's spiritual. That's totally spiritual. Going to church, that's totally spiritual. Praying for my friends, that's totally spiritual. And I need the Holy Spirit for these things. But for the rest of my life, I don't need him for that. Paying the bills, going to work, talking to my boss, talking to my spouse, working out. I don't need the Holy Spirit for these things. And that's the mistake. We've put this false wall, and God wants to break that down. One of the breakthrough moments for me in understanding these, in understanding this truth that everyday actions become supernatural with the Holy Spirit, was talking to one of our pastors, Pastor Manny Carlos. And I went up to him maybe 7-6 years ago, and I said, Pastor Manny, you got to help me out. I hope you don't fire me for saying this. I told him, you all talk about trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, I get it sometimes, but most of the time, I really don't, okay? I get it when we're having a prayer meeting, an event. Yeah, sure, we trust the power of the Holy Spirit to do stuff there. But when I'm having my meetings, you know, when I'm planning, strategic planning or preparing, how much of that is trusting the Holy Spirit? I mean, what if I didn't? Would the meeting fall apart? It wouldn't. It would still happen. So which of that is trust? When do I trust the Holy Spirit? And what do I want him to do? Like, I'm having my meeting and the water in the cooler is turning into wine. Is that what's supposed to be happening by trusting the Holy Spirit? And Pastor Manny said, Joseph, you've put up this weird divide in your head as to which things God can move in and which things he can't move in. Don't you realize, he said, that everything you're doing is already being done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't do these things without him. Okay? So, I'm already doing it then. And he said, no, but why not invite him to join you in the meeting? And what did he do? Like that's what I keep, like, what would, if I did, what would happen? Like, would I levitate? Would I glow? He said, no, you're making it too hyper-spiritual. He said, it's the grace of God to run the meeting. It's, you don't know what's going to happen. But you ask him to participate. Okay, fine. A couple of weeks later, I was about to have a very touchy leadership conversation at our campus ministry. Basically, I had to let one of our staff members go. This is a person who several months of poor work ethic and poor performance and just bad character, unteachable. And you had to let this person go. I was anticipating it would be a very difficult and testy conversation because this was the kind of guy who the slightest correction, he just bristles and gets really defensive at you. So I've come in here with documentation of all of his infractions. So I'm ready to fight. And I'm just expecting an hour and a half of just bloody, it's your fault. But right before walking in, I said, let's try this. Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're going to do. But if there's a time I need you in a meeting, it's right now. And it was the most grace-filled firing I've ever had to do. I'm 100% serious. I was astounded. I said, well, you know why we're here, right? Yes, Joe, you're right. I've been wrong. And you know what? You're doing the right thing. No need for this. So, okay. And then, and you know, I really feel like God's changing my character and I need to get out of the ministry for this to happen. I'm glad you know that. So I prayed for him. So it was like half an hour total. I said, we talked about, what his, timeline would be. I said, and afterwards I said, okay, I got to go now. He goes, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go have dinner. Can I go with you? Like, is he going to attack me on the way there? I don't know. So we go, and then he's just this really nice guy. And he says, I'm so glad you guys brought this to my attention. I really needed to hear this. Da, 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 da. And I'm, what? So I'm trying to make small talk over dinner. Like, oh, okay, so what are your plans? Well, I don't know. You just fired me. I did. I did. I didn't know what to say to that. But my point here is, afterwards, I'm driving home, I'm thinking, that's what it means. Everyday actions become supernatural. Because here I was thinking that to convince this guy was all on my strength. It wasn't. The Holy Spirit could do that. That would have taken me weeks and months to get there. The Holy Spirit could do it like that, like dynamite. I could be either there picking at it with my own pickaxe or the Holy Spirit doing them his power, coming and blow up the issue, and we just have to walk through. Just last night while preparing for this message, I got into a big fight with my wife, and you would be surprised, or you shouldn't be surprised actually, how often that happens to pastors. Like right before a message, you get into a big fight, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't need this now, okay? And I was praying in the car, God, change me. Change her, whatever we need to change, but I gotta fix this. I can't prepare for my message in this state. And what I thought would take hours was 10 minutes and we're done. Thank you, Lord. Because everyday actions become supernatural when the Holy Spirit is in the equation. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit giving creativity, even blessing people's work. I was so happy after the 10 o'clock service, someone came up and said, I'm a designer. I write scripts and I need to pray that I finish all my requirements. Let's pray for that. That's Holy Spirit stuff too, not just the worship night stuff. Even that counts. Can we try that this week? Pray that. Lord, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I invite you. Participate. I need you to help me this week. Let's see what happens. Here's what Mark 16 says. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Now, cautionary note on those two. I don't think that's done intentionally, okay? So I don't think you should go around drinking Raid or drinking like Bygone and saying, oh, the Bible says. I'm serious. I'm 100% serious here. But what we do have in historical accounts in church history are people who are being poisoned and are being harmed, and the Holy Spirit protects them. Even today, we have missionaries in every nation who work in places where there's intense witchcraft and places like that, and their food is being poisoned, and God protects them. They're not scarfing it down intentionally, poison this and let me eat it. Now, they're not doing that, But God protects them when people mean harm against them. Do you understand the difference? Okay. It will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Everyday actions become supernatural. My wife, as her business is growing and they're blogging and having to attend events, we hired a driver to drive for the family. And this man was Iglesia ni Cristo for much of his life. But I would get in the car every day and I would say, Lord, help him change. And in the beginning, the first few weeks, I would just share a little bit and he would always say, oh, we're the same. We do that also. Like he would always brush me off. But over time, he eventually gave his life to Jesus. And now he's a leader in our church in Victory Novaliches. And this is, maybe it's been a year with us. A couple of weeks ago, he was telling me, sir, you know, you told me that everything that happens, God has a purpose for that. And I should look to what God's doing in that thing. I said, yes. Well, I was going to my small group meeting on my motorcycle last Saturday, and I got a flat tire. So I was going to miss the small group meeting. I said, okay. So what did you do? So I was standing there at the vulcanizing shop, and I said, Lord, what is your purpose for giving me a flat tire? Not in an angry way, okay? Like, Lord, why would you give me a flat tire? But why am I here? And he thought, I might as well talk to the vulcanizer. And he did. And he shared his testimony. And now he's going to bring his vulcanizer to church. Because everyday actions... Okay, you can clap for that. Everyday actions become supernatural when the Holy Spirit's in the equation. There's no special elite force. It's for all of us. There's no special elite category. All things the Holy Spirit wants to help us with. Because no one is insignificant. Nothing is too mundane. And lastly, no one is unreachable. That's the ultimate purpose of this thing. The purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is not to draw attention to ourselves. In the Bible, there are accounts of people who do that. They see the power of the Holy Spirit and they use it to increase their popularity and their fame. And there's severe consequences on their life for doing that. I believe the same is true in church today. That people who do abuse the power of the Holy Spirit this way do not receive the full favor of God. Because God never meant it to be used for that. God meant it to reach the unreachable. Acts 5:14, the verse we read earlier. More than ever, believers were being added. A multitude of men and women. No one is unreachable. Sometimes we like to think in our heads that some people are easier to reach than others. That's a lie. Everyone's equally difficult. Everyone's equally easy. Reminds me of a quote from The Godfather. My dad loves The Godfather. So much of my life was growing up of an education of the Bible and The Godfather. So very conflicting ideas there. The most entertaining part would be watching my dad try to reconcile the two ideas. Well, you know, when Vito said that, there is a verse like that. What? There's a scene in The Godfather 2 where Michael, the son of Vito Corleone, has an enemy. And his enemy, a rival mob boss, Hyman Roth. And Hyman Roth has been a thorn on his side for so long. And now he needs to kill him, his rival boss. But Hyman Roth, anticipating this, turned state's witness. And now he's protected by the government. He's protected by all the witness protection program. And so Michael's telling his men, we got to take this guy out. And they're saying, sir, we can't do that. And he gives this quote that, you know, I'll never forget. He said, if anything in this life is certain, if history has taught us anything, it is that you can kill anyone. Insane. But I think about that quote. I think about the fact that with the power of the Holy Spirit, everyone is reachable. And the truth is, if anything in life is certain, and if history has taught us anything, it's that you can reach anyone. Because the reality is, everyone who believes in Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to work in their heart first. Whether it's a kid who grew up in church the whole time, he's been sitting in the front row like Jay, he needs the Holy Spirit to do that. Or the furthest person you can imagine. Either a staunch devotee in whatever religion they believe in, or an atheist who doesn't believe in any religion, whoever they are, they need the Holy Spirit to work in their heart, to convince them. So the person we think is easy is just as impossible, and the person we think is impossible is just as reachable. It's the same amount of work that needs to be done. What's that work? Holy Spirit work. He'll do it. Here's what Jesus says in John 16, the verse we read earlier. He said, if I leave you, I'm going to send a helper to you. Verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not to get weird. It's not to draw attention to an elite group of people. No, it's to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Some of us, many of us here, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life will be the ability to sustain supernaturally the abuse and maltreatment of other people. And you're going to sit there with patience, and you're going to sit there with a smile on your face and with joy, and you're going to think, this is not me. If it was just me, I'd be ripping your eyes out right now. But the Holy Spirit, and you know what that's doing? That's bringing conviction of sin. Because that person is sitting there thinking, why are they so kind to me? That's what got many of us saved, isn't it? We look at people who we don't believe, we don't agree with their position, and we say, why are they like this? That's the Holy Spirit's work. The people who we think are unreachable. And it goes on to say how with sin, this is what's happening. Because they don't believe in me. With righteousness, because he's going to the Father. And because of judgment, because the ruler of this world is going to be judged. People will know that, look, I need to find Jesus. This is a post on Facebook recently. Reno Kun is a leader of our victory, of one of our victory groups. And he's also a captain in the army. And, you know, it's in Tagalog. But he gets in a cab and 30 minutes later, he leads the cab driver to Jesus. Why? It's the same work of the Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing about this, when we believe this, is there's no pressure on you or me. Because if it happens now, then the Holy Spirit did it. If it doesn't happen right now, well, that's the Holy Spirit's work. Very often, what hinders us from inviting people, from sharing our faith, is the fear of failure, isn't it? Well, what if they don't believe? Well, then they don't believe. It's not your fault. Just keep sharing. Because no one is impossible to reach. Last story and I'll end. A few years ago, there was a guy in our small group. He grew up in a Muslim family. So he's Muslim all of his life. And he married a woman who was Catholic. So in some weird turn of events, it's a long story, but a weird turn of events, like to be fair to one another, they went to victory. All right, so that neither of us get what we want. We'll go to this church. So they start going to, and then they end up in our small group. And the girl gets saved immediately from her Catholic background. And the man just couldn't. He just didn't believe. He just said, I don't. And his main obstacle was, how can there be one God and three persons? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. And we said, doesn't make sense to us either. But we believe it's true. But it's very hard for us to explain as well. So we said, look, I'm not going to force you to believe this. Let's just meet. Let's just meet every week. And when you believe, then great. If you never believe, at least we had a good time. Okay. Because I told him, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to do that work inside your heart. Okay. And so for weeks, months, Georgette's here. He knows that we would sit with him and arrive at nothing. It would be like a stalemate. But we were comfortable with that because it's the Holy Spirit's work. Our job is to do the mundane things. Invite him, befriend him, share the gospel to him. And if he believes, God will do it. If he doesn't, that's up to God. After several months of this, we're in his car, and he says to me, you know what, the other problem I have with Christianity is, if it's true, then how will my family come to know Jesus? What about them? They need to get saved as well. I said, that's a good point. Is that your main obstacle? Yeah, that's my main obstacle. If that's your main obstacle, then that means you already believe. Because if you're concerned about how your parents will fare, then that means you believe this is true and they're not believing the right thing. So you already believe. Oh, he said, oh no. He said, do I believe? Do I believe? I want to believe. I want to believe. Oh no, I believe. And then I said, okay, why don't you just verbalize, Lord Jesus, I believe that you've died on the cross for me. I said, okay, Jesus. Okay. Then we got to where we were going. He dropped me off and he kept going. And then we met each other again the next week. And I said, how have you been? And he said, I don't know what happened, but as soon as I got home, I couldn't stop reading the Bible. As soon as I got home, I downloaded all the podcasts of our church. I listened to all the services. I didn't know you all say the same things. But I listened to all the pastors preach. And he said, what's going on? And I said, this is new life. You're like a baby crying for milk now. You're craving it. He goes, that's what it is. It's a craving. Because no one is impossible to reach. And every one of us has this power. It's the Holy Spirit. So our goal for all of us, as I said in the beginning, let's depend on the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Could we try this week? Let's invite him to participate. Whatever it looks like. I don't know what it looks like for your work or what situation you're in with your family or with your neighbors or at school. But invite him there and let's see what happens. Let's stand to our feet and close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. Lord, it's so amazing to think that you would release us to walk in this freedom, God. And yet we grow up in this culture that our own mindsets, our own thinking, I can't do that. That's only for them. That's only for this person. Maybe if I've been here 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. Lord, today I pray that you will help us to see that this is available for all who believe. Could you put your hands on your heart with me and let's just pray. Say, it's in your own words. Say, Lord, I believe that you want to use me, that you will use me. So here's my heart. Here's my mind. Here's my strength. Whatever you want to do to reach other people. Lord, I pray for these men and women. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we will realize that this week is a divine week. That we will stop putting a divide between these things God can move in and this places God won't move in. This is something that God blesses. This is something God doesn't bless. Lord, I pray that you will bless projects today. That you will bless staff meetings. That you will bless strategic plans. That you will bless gyms, Lord, and workouts, Lord, and team meetings that they need to make. Lord, I pray that you will bless the deadlines that they need to reach, Lord, and school projects that need to be done. That you will bless, Lord, the theses that need to be written, Lord, and quizzes and exams. Lord, whatever that's so mundane, help us, Lord, to see it from a totally different perspective today. That the Holy Spirit is here with me, moving because Jesus sent him ever since I put my faith in him. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us all to live a life of significant service to you. Lord, I pray that this week will be different. Lord, we pray also for our friends and family who need to know you. Just think of those people right now, those people that you're praying for, the ones who we consider the most unreachable, the most impossible. Lord, we declare right now, they are not impossible. In fact, Holy Spirit, we ask you now to move in their hearts, move in their minds, in their lives. Lord, I pray that we will even be surprised when we speak to them again and realize, Lord, you've been doing something in this person's life. You've been putting together circumstances. You've been putting together events, Lord, and thoughts and feelings in their heart that are leading them to put their faith in you. And at the right time, Lord, we will be there for them to help them make that decision. Thank you, Lord, for the significant call that you've released all believers to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone say, Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.